Judges chapter 16, please. Judges chapter 16, let's all stand. We will read some together. By the way, I am not preaching a sermon tonight. I think most of you know that. I am just going to do some more introduction to the period next week. This is actually last week's sermon, but again, somebody poisoned me last Sunday, and I wasn't here. Judges 16. Judges 16. Sometime in the future, maybe we will deal more with the story of Samson. Chapter 16, verse 1. Are we ready? Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there, and there's just no nice way to say it, is there? A zona. Not the word kadosh, not the sacred prostitute, which would be, even in my opinion, more of an abomination. He just saw a prostitute. And it says, he went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight and rose at midnight and took the doors of the gate and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. I don't know how you do that. I don't know what all that means, but I do know this. That is not a small feat. Verse 4. And Samson was really listening. Right? It came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Tonight I'm going to speak for 30 minutes or less on those judges. And when I say, this is really background, friend. I'm not going to preach a sermon. That was this morning. Tonight we're just going to look again at more issues. Next week, Lord willing, we will deal with historical issues. I'm going to ask the question, is the book of Judges historical? Now, if you know anything about the modern culture, the answer is absolutely no for most people, and including even evangelical seminaries these days. It's a very strange thing. But that'll be next week. This week, this is how you say those judges when you do this. Those judges. I don't know how you put that on a piece of paper, but that's what I meant. All right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time. May this be a profitable night in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, friends. My introduction is very simple. For you newcomers, forgive me. For you old-timers, you will remember some names. I am now old enough to look back into the late 1970s, December of 1977 to be exact, through 1981 of May, and then I was gone from this church for 15 years, and then came back and have been here the last 26 years. So basically, I have connections with Lake County Baptist that stem a long time, well over 40 years. I only wish, and I did not know, if I'd have known, I wouldn't let him leave. I wanted your son to hear this. Because I want all of you to look at me. This is a teenage message, the introduction. You know, folks, I've been around a week or two. See this young man right here? He used to be young. I called him Too Tall Hall back in the dark ages in the 70s. I can remember when he was single. He remembers when I was single. We remember before children. So I'm just going to read some things. I have a lifetime of connections with people here. Much has been joy. There's been many successes. There have also been many losses. There's been some failures. There's been some betrayals. And I don't mean of me, just in general. But there's been much that's been good and godly and happy. I have good memories of Mike and Pam before they were Mike and Pam. I have memories of Jim and Marlene DeWar, which has now been a pastor for many years and has a good family and been married 40 years now. I remember introducing Jim DeWar to his wife. I remember telling him, we were right out in the front, and I said, Jim, quit, you know, I probably, this is not exact, quit dragging around, because Jim was a dragger. He, you know, he had a girlfriend that left him, and he was just all depressed. I had this with two different guys. Craig Busho was the second one. Busho's was much worse, by the way. Won't get into that. You know it, but I won't get into that. Poor Jim. I said, Jim, have you looked at Marlene DeWar? She's a good girl. I said, you should ask her to a certain event. Jim always tells me, he says, if nothing else, Ralph, the best thing you ever did for me was tell me to go after Marlene. I said, I know that's the best thing. Now, I'm not sure Marlene agrees with that. I remember Henry Gondek. I didn't know his wife well, Kathy. I know who she is. I remember Dale and Karen. My old buddy Dale Friedrich. Fred, I always say it wrong. Is it Friedrich? I say it wrong. He came here a couple years ago, if you all remember. Sat right over here. Dale's a wonderful guy. By the way, look at me. I got some young people here. I got a few here. Listen, right in this church, I can remember Dale. Dale was the most unsophisticated guy I ever met when it came to dating. Back in those days, there were three different houses that had Christian school teachers. He would call house A. He would start with the first person he was interested in. He would say, would you like to go out Friday night? If she said no, he would say, can I speak too? If she didn't want to go out, you think I'm kidding. Dale was pretty clueless. And the funniest thing, and this is the honest truth, there was one girl that hated his guts. I mean, she despised him. She was always writing him, but that's usually a sign of she was interested. So Jenny and I plan on getting married in June of 1979, 42 years ago, and guess what happened? They decide to get married before us. They get married in spring break. Young people, are you listening? That was 1979. You can't imagine back that far. That couple never had children. They lived a good life. She had Huntington's chorea, which messes with the frontal lobe of your brain. You die from it somewhere in your 40s or 50s. Normally, you die insane. Right here in this church, that's a couple we knew. He's done well, far as I know. Came back, had a great conversation. Are y'all with me? Well, I can mention others. How about Craig and Barb Busho? When Craig Busho came to this church in the United States Navy, he had gone through a crisis that most of you don't understand. He had graduated from Cedarville back in the days when it was a fundamentalist school. He graduated from Cedarville. He worked, Jim DeMar knows where he worked. He worked at Mankato in Minnesota. There was a GARBC camp there. He became either the assistant director or the director. Does anybody know the story outside of me? And his wife deserted him and Christianity, which in our circles means you're no longer in the ministry. So everything, when he came here in the United States Navy, he was a broken man. Over a period of time, he met a young lady named Barb, and they got married. Most of you know. Are you all listening? He died this year. When I was in the hospital having surgery, he died for not having surgery. Same surgery. You say, are you being, folks, I'm trying to introduce judges. This is life. Well, we can continue. Curtis and Debbie have been divorced for decades. He got saved right down on the base, right in the laboratory where I worked in a Bible study. And Curtis got saved, got baptized here, met his wife. I don't know whatever happened other than this. They divorced. Of course, you know, if you know one person's side of it, you know the whole truth, correct? How about this? I come here in 1996. One of the people that I liked the most in those days, two families. This is 26 years ago. When I came here, there was Chuck Ells and Shelley. Now, I don't personally like Shelley because she was mean to me, very mean to me. Oh, her first word, when you would open the financial office door, no. She didn't even ask you what you wanted, no. And she trained Bambi. So that's Chuck and Shelley. By the way, Chuck Ells is a better pastor than me. Not a better thinker, not a better preacher, but a better pastor, no question. But he's not a pastor now. Why? Because Shelley, 5, 6, 7 years ago, had a massive stroke, and he takes care of her 24/7, 365. And when I say take care of her, he does everything. She cannot use the facilities. He has to put her in a device, and it's gravity-oriented. He does everything. Who else was here? People that I love today. Jerry and Kathy. Jerry was a school administrator. She was, as most of you know, she ran the office. Forgive me, the office ran her. I love both of them. See, I can deal with people realizing their limitations. He didn't stay here very long. She stayed here a lot less. I had to be rescued. Her forte is not anything that requires, what's the term, being entrepreneurial. Her forte is in other areas, people, and she does well in a fixed environment. Jan Thompson took over. Well, they were here in the church for quite a few years, and then, you know, he went back into the military, then the base closed, and they moved to Atlanta. Folks, this spring, was it January? Or is it December? All I know is I'm talking to Jerry because they're in North Carolina. Are you all with me? I'm talking to you guys because this is what you just can't figure out. There's no way of predicting life. My buddy Jerry had a heart attack. Here's the problem. I look around this room. Jerry's in better shape than most of us ever have been. He ran every day. He ate super well. He had a heart attack. They put stents in. Everything was fine. I talked to him on Tuesday night. He was on Bible study on Wednesday night. Thursday night, I talked to him again. We were joking. We were laughing. We were talking. Friday morning, I'm at home reading before I come to work. Kathy calls me on my phone, and I'm like, what does Kathy call me for? I just talked to her last night, and she answers the phone, and she was nervous, but Kathy always answers the phone like somebody else with, I'm sorry, what else do you say? Something like that. You know, Kathy, you know, and I said, Kathy, do I owe you money? And then she told me, Jerry died last night. You know my first thought? Surely she wouldn't joke about that, would she? So here's the bottom line, friend. Life moves on, doesn't it? You don't know how it's going to move on. You don't know where things are going to end up. I said something in Sunday school. I hope some of you were listening. I have a philosophy. It ain't broke. Some of you have this philosophy. If it ain't broke, break it. Be very careful about breaking your life. There's enough problems as it is. Man, this is for Evan and his lovely wife. 1970, and I'm going to tell this story more in Sunday morning next week, I believe. 1979, my wife and I got married here. I had started a Bible study on the base. Frank Pasalacqua got saved there. His wife in 1980 got saved right over in this area on a special service, Frank and Kathy. Frank and Kathy were here for quite a few years, and they bought the house next door because those folks wouldn't sell it to the church. They bought the house, and when they left here in 1986, they gave that house, and the bill, by the way, to the church. 2013, my buddy Frank died. I looked it up, Mike, 2008 years ago. By the way, Frank was with his family. It was a Saturday night. He's gone. Friend, do you understand what it means to lose people that you led to the Lord and you invested in for 2 or 3 years of your life? In your notes. This is life. This is what happens. I'm going to talk briefly about the era and the individuals. So for the individual and the era, the period of time of the judges, I have all the points pretty much in your notes. Number one, the judges are complicated. Can I tell you what? Life is complicated. People are complicated. People are more than one thing. Sometimes things get very complicated. Folks, if you have no idea how complicated some folks' lives are. The person today that was looking at their little cellie phone while I'm preaching on life and death, I don't know what they were looking at, but I do know this. I know the impact in the family. Life is complicated. We read this. Samson went to Gaza and saw there a what? A prostitute. And he went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet at the night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulder and carried them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterwards, since he learned absolutely nothing from anything, that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. I'm just going to barely scratch introduction. What do we find about Samson? The first thing we notice is a harlot or a prostitute. The second thing we notice, he went in. Folks, he went in. That is, unless you're just really sleepy, that's a double entendre. And if you don't know what a double entendre is, look it up. And if you don't know how to spell it, ask somebody who does. Friends, he meets a prostitute. Here's one of the judges. This is one of the heroes of the faith. He meets a prostitute. He goes into her. He finds himself, or he found himself, surrounded. Then we have an unbelievable feat. I don't even know how to express it. How do you pick up the whole thing and carry it? I don't know. He did it. And then we find him in love with one of the sweethearts. By the way, if you ever named your daughter Delilah, would you do that? I mean, Jezebel, Delilah, that's pretty much the worst. Is that correct? And he went to find Delilah in the valley of Sorek. Folks, you may look this up on your own. The Hebrew word Sorek, I have it in your notes, is used exactly one time in the Bible. Do you remember what Samson was never to be around? What was Samson never to be around? Grapes. Anything to do with grapes. Sorek is the Hebrew word for vines. So he went into the valley of vines, and guess what he found? Delilah. I'm not preaching on Samson. I'm dealing with the whole book. I have in your notes. People are complicated. When you read the book, the judges are complicated. Frankly, when you read the Kings, David was complicated. Solomon was complicated. Saul was worse than complicated. People are complicated. Secondly, life is complicated. Now, should life be complicated? Look at me. Should your life be complicated? There's some things you shouldn't have that problem. I don't go to bed ever wondering, where was I last night? What was I doing last night? The biggest danger I have is overeating. You say, does that ever happen? Do you need to ask that question? But friends, I never wonder. But life is complicated. Thirdly, in your notes, both are complicated by sin. But as I'm speaking to all of you, thinking about the younger people, please listen to me. When I say sin, you might miss the point. Because some of the people that I love the most, Kathy and Jerry, Chuck and Shelley, Dale and Karen, the complication was still sin, but it wasn't personal sin. Sin comes in more than one variety. Yes, I don't know you guys, so I can speak to you fully clear conscience. I know your dad. I know that he is the nicer one of the three brothers. But, you know, that's not really hard to be because, you know, anyhow, I better move on from that. life can get very complicated. Who would have guessed? By the way, when I got married in 1979, Dale got married and Karen in March. Was it March? Were you in Dale's wedding too? He doesn't remember. He doesn't remember who he was in his wedding. He doesn't remember that I was in his wedding. Okay, he doesn't know. But I was in Dale's wedding. Dale was in my wedding. He was in my wedding. In my wedding, standing on the stage was me. And then it went down like this. Bill, 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 Dale, Mike. Just like that. Right over here. I still remember. Who would have guessed that Dale's wife had this disease? Who would have known? In your notes, Life is complicated. Both are complicated by sin of all varieties. So I give you several varieties. Sin nature. Believe it or not, when you get saved, you don't lose your sin nature. Man, I wish you did. I wish my children didn't have a sin nature. I wish Jesse does not have a sin nature. He borrows his dad sometime, but he does not have, oh my goodness. Yesterday he was so much fun last night. Then there's other times. I've seen him fall on the floor, just throwing a fit. It's like, who are you? Do I know you? Sin nature. How about this? Sinful choices. And friends, sinful choices can just absolutely derail your life. There's a thing called original sin. There is this, the effects of sin in this world. My goodness. We don't have time to talk, but understand when I say this, people are complicated. Life is complicated. Sometimes it's just good old ugly sin, but sometimes it's just kind of the way the world is. You look at people, I think of Shelley, I think of Jerry, I think of Karen, and it's like none of those people, and even Craig Bushell that died of cancer, none of those should have died. It wasn't their own sin, it was the curse. I'm not going to read the verses, but I am going to give you the quote. The quote is in your notes. I like the quote. The quote says this, "The best of men are at best," what? "The best of men are at best yet men." That's under the verses. I haven't given you the three things above that. I better do this or Frenchie will die tonight and Rhonda will kill me. In your notes, I say this, complicated people do good things. I would say this, sometimes very good things. Is that a true statement? I will tell you also, complicated people do evil things. Sometimes very evil. So people, look at me, people that you have been loved, prayed for, prayed with, fellowship with, laughed with, lived with. This is a complex world. I wish it wasn't that way. I wish that I could take young people like this, set them on a path, and I know nothing is ever going to go wrong. All right? Let me give you four of them. I have pictures. Scary Carrie, Julie, Haley, and Amy. None of them have had perfect existences except Julie. She married Johnny R. That's perfection right there. By the way, they've all had their difficulties. Who would have thought that the wedding I performed for Haley and Andrew Swift, Jenny, wasn't it up here in Zion? At Lakeview. Who would have thought that young man 10 years later would be dead? Life is complicated, friends. Now, those four girls on the whole are still excellent. I've rarely found their equal. The only equal I have found is the second group. They're not really, I don't know where they came from. I know they have a relationship to the lovely lady. I don't think the dad had anything to do with them. Those two beautiful girls, Stacy's, Christy and Tom's, those are some beautiful girls. And I don't mean just, I know they had nothing to do with Scott. I mean, I know that. By the way, they're beautiful girls. Do I want the best for them? How do you control this? Now hear me. The best people you'll ever meet that are complicated will do very good things. Some of them will do very evil things. Sometimes they're some of our own. Not those girls, but it happens. I say this, complicated people leave complicated lives with complicated outcomes. With complicated outcomes. Now, I have to read this. I want to tell very quickly three very short stories. Please look up here. I'm the only one that knows this because I'm the only one that was here during these times, though he would know some of it. In the history of my time at Lake County Baptist School, our school has been given and donated three big donations of stuff. The first one came because a couple that was in this church, look at me, a complicated couple. Let me say it worse, a sinfully complicated couple left here on a Sunday morning, we're going to go out to eat, drove past a place in Gurnee that had, they were selling all the stuff in a house. I know where the house is. And the entire basement was made into an office, huge office space, huge. Probably had 9 desks there, big desk. They went into the place. They talked to the owners. They were selling everything. But they had these really big desks that who uses them? The person, husband or wife, said, "We have a school." They said, "If you'll come and pick them up, we'll give them to you." Those super big 500-pound desks that we have scattered around, are you, take a breath, came from a couple that have lived a horrifically sinful life, from a business that closed because of they were also doing cocaine during business hours and couldn't stay in business. That's where those desks come from. Let's skip forward a year. In my office, there's a fridge. Are we awake? We were given a bunch of fridges, brand new. I have one in my office. I don't know where the other ones are. Do you have one in your office? Do you know who they were given to us by? Do you remember? Mm-hmm. They were given to us by a woman who was in the United States Navy. I think she was an officer. I think she was a nurse. And she came to church over a period of 2 years, 6 or 8 times, with a different boyfriend 2 or 3 of those times. I doubt very much she was truly saved. And we have refrigerators. By the way, look at me. Complicated people do very good things. Sometimes they do very evil things. We have chairs all around the building. Now, some of them have been replaced now. Do you remember when we got the donation of all those chairs in the box? And probably 15 different file cabinets in the box? That came from a couple that showed up here for a grand total of 2 Sundays. They loved the church and never showed up, and I could never find them after that. But we got a bunch of chairs. Can I tell you something? If you're waiting around for good people to help, life is complicated. You read the judge and you say, "Samson, what's wrong with this guy?" You're obviously not a pastor. You obviously don't know how people are. Hold it. I'm not justifying anything, because the complexity is not just about sinful choices. It's about 1,000 other things. My goodness, friends. So many different things. Complicated people do evil things, sometimes very evil. Complicated people lead complicated lives with complicated outcomes. Yes, they do. At the bottom of that section, I say life will contain many complications that are beyond our control, or even our ability to predict. So when you read Judges, let me say it this way. In one sense, you should feel at home. Number 2, the judges are chaotic. Would everybody agree with that? Just chaotic. Of course, you have the refrain. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It's introducing you to a whole era where you should know things are complicated. Look on the next page, please. I'll give you some thoughts very quickly. When we read the judges, we encounter things like this: apostasy, the repeated abandoning of the living God. Just over and over. It's like, you know, how many times you have to get slapped in the face? We find the worship of local gods. Most of it was more convenient. It was more fun. It was more interesting. We find enemies and more enemies. Have you ever asked yourself, "Pastor, does it ever get better than this? Do we ever not have enemies?" Yes, but not here. If you're waiting around for no problems and no enemies, good luck. Look at me, friend. I got a letter today from who is the guy? Some conservative evangelical, good guy, Jim DeWar, sent me the letter. I wish I had it, and it was written to, it was an open letter to pastors. I'm not complaining. I'm not whining. Folks, have you looked around on Sunday night? Where are all the people that used to show up on Sunday night? We used to have twice this every Sunday night. COVID has changed things. Pastors, it actually impacts them emotionally. If I had emotions, it would. If I only had a heart. to quote a Bible verse, or something like a Bible verse. Some of you have no idea. You really don't know what I'm talking about there. Friends, enemies, enemies, enemies. Who would have predicted COVID? Dada, in the Philippines, there's now 4 or 5 guys I used to teach that are dead. And their churches don't have a pastor. So now they have sheep with no shepherds. In your notes, you also find leaders. Next, weak leaders. Would you say most of the leaders in the book of Judges were weak? Yeah. You also find wrong leaders in the book of Judges. And I say in your notes, and this is cynicism, the wrong leaders tend to be very good, like Deborah. As I said in Sunday school, she's the best man for the job. It's embarrassing that they're, by the way, when you read the whole book of Judges, your first thought is that, man, I want that guy to be leading me. It's horrific. What else do we find? We find corrupt leaders, quite a few of them. Gideon, Abimelech. Those are two that I think of. Abimelech is nothing but corruption. You find a few weird leaders. You find crazy. You find chaos. And sometimes you find indescribable events. It's like, what? How did that happen? I say in your notes, and by the way, friends, this is with a wink, wink, a nod, nod. We all like simple, stable, normal, correct? Look at me. I have come to realize writing this sermon or this Bible study, the number one qualification of a pastor in this day, he has to be a person who's stable because nobody else is. And when I said nobody, I just about mean nobody. People are crazy right now. Tom and I were talking about just the things you see, the things you hear, the decisions people make, and you're like, by the way, if a pastor isn't stable, he will go insane. When that letter, I wish I had it, it's on my phone, was basically saying, pastors, we appreciate you during this time. Most pastors are about to get out of the ministry, and I have 3 or 4 friends right now that aren't in the pastorate. They got tired of dealing with the non-vaxxers, fighting the vaxxers. You do know I have people mad at me in this church right now. I don't know if they'll be back. You know what? It's over. I'm not praying for you if you will not get a vaccination, if you go on COVID and have to go in ICU. I'm done with that. That's your choice. You're stupid. You say, Pastor Warren, if you want to play with fire, go play with fire, but please don't ask me to rescue from the fire. All right, now you're upset. In your notes, some like drama. You know there's people that like drama? You know, when I think of people that like drama, the first person I think of is Pastor Kowak. He loves drama. Then I say in your notes, some cause drama. And you say, who would that be? That would be Pastor Dada. He just causes, every place I go, he causes drama, right? Is it, Pajunga, isn't that what you think of when you think of Dada? He's causing drama every place. Oh, please. Some are chaotic and even like it. A few can't deal with any chaos, but as I say, but cannot possibly eliminate it because chaos is part of our world. Friend, the judges were 3 things. The judges were complicated, chaotic, and cyclical. This is very obvious from the text. Now, for friends, I'm not going to spend 15 minutes reading this text. We might talk about this later. Look at me. I have in your notes what you find in the book of Judges. It's not cute. It's not 4 P's in a poem. Because actually what you find is this. Please look up here. Then we're going to look at the little outline thing. What you find is 2 things going on. You find from my people's perspective. Then you find from God's perspective. If I would have had Christy someplace in the near property, someone sophisticated with computers, I could have drawn this like an engineering plan. Because I think these are 2 wheels doing this. But I'm not capable of doing that on a computer. So forgive me. I could draw it. Do you understand how you get? So if you look at these two and put them side by side, you'll understand the book of Judges, the cyclical. So from the human's perspective, Israel's perspective, there's apostasy. You know what apostasy is? And on the then it moves to what? God has to send some sort of oppression, correct? Some kind of problems. And then you have at the bottom groaning. They're groaning, they're complaining. Sometimes they're praying, sometimes they're repenting. And then you have deliverance and peace. And the moment we have deliverance and peace, guess what we do? Back to apostasy. So you have, look here, folks, you have the one gear that's what humans do. And then you have God. His gear works with this. You say, what's his gear? When we apostatize, he gets angry. So you find God's anger. And then what does God do? Punishment, chastisement, discipline, whatever term you want to use. Christy, if you can draw this in a diagram for me and put it in the notes, I will handsomely reward you. You'll have to tell me how. And you'll have to give me some money to do it, but I'd be glad to do it. But do you understand the process? Look at me. People apostatize. God's saying, I gave you peace. What are you doing? I got a question. Do we deal well when everything's going smoothly? It seems like we have problems. So then God has to send some sort. You can call it punishment. You can call it chastisement. You can call it discipline. And then you have God. The Bible says God repents. We don't have time to get in that, but God obviously says, all right, I'm going to stop the discipline. And then God does what? He sends them a judge and gives them deliverance. And the moment they have deliverance, they go back to apostasy. And then God, and by the way, these two things just do this. Through the book of Judges. It's a very sad mess. I will say this to you, and I'm done tonight. I wish all of us could live well without problems. Some of us, we're getting ground finer and finer, and we never get it. Can I say this to you? Fool me once, fool me twice, shame on me. Have you ever hit your head on the same thing twice in a row? Who can you blame, dummy? Let's stand. We're finished for tonight. Christy will make this perfect, folks, for me, I am sure. Let's pray, and then Pastor Kwok will come with a closing song. Father, thank you. I think it's important, Lord, that we realize that this life can be complicated by things that we have no control over. I think that's actually very helpful. And when we look at the history of the judges, 340 years, we must understand that there were many innocent people that were not part of the apostasy that were also impacted by God's anger, God's chastisement, because he sent other tribal groups in to punish them. Sometimes we get caught up in things way beyond our control. Life can get complicated. Father, I think tonight as I began this with people that I love and have loved through the years, who would I love more than the crew? Scary Carrie, Haggis, Juilliard, and Pickle. Well, maybe Dana and Nikki and Carly and Brenna. And frankly, a young lady that goes to Maranatha was here at the same time, the Duncan's granddaughter. Sweet people. What a crop of beautiful ladies. Lord, we want the very best, but as Christians, we know life can get complicated. Help us to be those people that make things less complicated, more stable, more sound, more straightforward. May we do our part to live right in this strange time, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Pastor Cork.